Hey, welcome back to episode 49 of Extra Features. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
Bob, the intern forevermore.
You like being the intern.
I have no choice.
That's true. Well, it's because of the old show name. You had no choice. But you can change it now, too.
No, I can't. Bob, what? The
forever intern?
The forever intern? Is that like intern the forever people?
I do know much about that.
I want to call him Bob the Hobbit.
Bob the Hobbit?
Bobbit.
Bobbit?
Bobbit. No.
Hey, Bobbit. How come we didn't see Scott Pilgrim?
No time.
No time.
What's wrong
no
with
time.
You? Scott Pilgrim was the movie of the summer.
I think
the
so.
The movie of the summer? Yes.
Like, I can't see it.
In the summer.
I'm going to go
and
see
it. It's been during the film festival.
Let me think what Bob might be doing. I'm going to go see a baseball team that's 25 games out of the playoff race.
25 games out? That would have been Baltimore.
Okay.
Shall we talk about teams that will never make the NHL playoffs?
I would have this discussion with you off the air because this is a film podcast,
yeah,
so I like to discuss Scott Pilgrim.
So it's okay for you to discuss baseball, but not hockey.
Right. Scott Pilgrim, directed by Edgar Wright, starring Mary Elizabeth
I do know
Winstead.
What it's about.
Should I know Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
No, I don't think so. I don't recognize her.
What?
Anything,
my favorite, Michael Cera.
You don't know Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
No.
Final Destination 3.
Oh, never seen
it.
Sky High.
Yeah,
there's a bit of...
I saw Scott
Brandon Routh, Ellen Wong, Allison Pill, Johnny Simmons from Hotel for Dogs.
And I write Hotel for Dog.
Anna Kendrick, Karen Culkin, Aubrey Plaza, Chris Evans, Don McKellar, and Brie Larson, and Jason Schwartzman.
Don McKellar?
I have no idea.
I don't remember Don McKellar in that.
He probably was. Like, maybe he was the director of the Chris Evans scene.
Maybe.
Who cares? Scott McKellar.
Alright, Scott Pilgrim the movie, which is called Scott Pilgrim versus the World, not just Scott Pilgrim.
I know.
Okay.
I wasn't the one that was writing these episodes out.
Based on the 6th book graphic novel series by Brian Lee O'Malley.
Have you read them?
I've read up to volume 4.
I tried. According to the library, they called me to pick up volume 1 and charged me a dollar because they didn't pick it up. I never got that phone call.
You get charged a dollar if they...
If I don't pick up my hold, yeah.
What?
So I had to pay a dollar for not reading Scott Pilgrim because I was trying to read it for this episode.
Cool.
So, I don't know. I just got to tell you, I never read Scott Pilgrim. I flipped through it briefly one day when I had my three-year-old running around chapters. I love when I let her do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to flip through it briefly. It looked kind of mangy-ish. I'm like, I don't know if I would like this.
Mangy. Is it mangy-ish?
Mangy-ish. I don't know. Is it manga or is it supposed to be mainstream? I'm not really sure.
No, it takes a lot of cues from manga.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. It had that style.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to admit, for the first 20 minutes, half an hour, I was kind of like, what did I get myself into? And then I started getting it. What was going on? Like, it took me because know nothing about this character, being, I guess, like somebody watching Jonah Hex. What the hell's going on? And they just never figure out what's going on.
Right.
Oh, my God. By the time he got to the fight, when he's fighting Mary Elizabeth Winstead's lesbian lover,
yeah,
I was fully on board.
You punched me in the boob.
Yeah, you punched me full steam ahead. I'm not going to fight a girl. Here, let me help you. And she picks up Mary Elizabeth, and he fights with her.
Yeah.
And I just thought this movie just kept getting better and better and better as it went along.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I started to figure out what was going on and getting it finally,
I
was kind of sitting there and when he's talking to Kieran Culkin, and Kieran's going, "What are you doing? I'm ordering something by them. So what are you doing? It's not going to come now." It's got ding dong. I'm like, "That's so cool."
Yeah.
Just scenes like that made my day. Or when he walks in on Kieran Culkin and Kieran Culkin's with a guy in bed.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I can't sleep with you tonight, Scott." "Oh, okay." I was like, "Was this part made for Michael Cera?" But I don't know, is the character in the comics this dull?
Is
Scott Pilgrim this dull in the comics?
Scott Pilgrim is kind of an ass in the
comics. So that's what I'm wondering. I mean, I don't know if lines are taken directly from the books.
All right. You know that the book series is basically, Brian Lee O'Malley is Scott Pilgrim.
Oh.
Okay. Wallace Wells is Chris Butcher.
Wait a second.
From the Big Island.
You're serious?
Yeah.
I did
they
not.
They were roommates. They were. They.
No way. Yeah. That's Chris Butcher? I know Chris Butcher.
Yeah. Chris Butcher is Wallace Wells.
At that time
of their life.
No way.
Yeah, when they were roommates and they shared a one-bedroom apartment. So, yeah.
So these things really happened?
No, I mean, it's a comic. It's exaggerated, obviously, but...
I did not know that was Chris Butcher.
Yeah, it was extrapolating on his life at the time.
Oh, my gosh, because, I mean, there's so many... Now you tell me it's Chris Butcher, it totally makes sense.
Oh, completely.
Like
Wallace Wells is Chris Butcher.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Scott Pilgrim's gay roommate.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I love this movie. Hands down, love this movie. It is a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, one of my favorite directors now is
Edgar Wright. Oh, I agree.
I mean, I love Hot Fuzz. I love Shaun of the Dead. I love Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
It is a visually innovative and exciting movie. Michael Cera, I think a lot of people looked at it and said, oh, it's Michael Cera. Another Michael Cera movie of a year of four or five mediocre Youth and Revolts. Some of these movies we haven't reviewed yet. There was another one where he was running, and then in Nick and Nora's Infinite Sadness.
Playlist.
Same thing.
It's kind of
Pilgrim and the Infinite Sadness.
Well, that's cute. I mean, I like the scene when he's fighting the Chinese. You had twins?
Yeah.
Well, you know, and he loses, and it goes... power up or play again or something, and he goes up and grabs it, all the video game
extra
reference.
Life.
Extra Life. That was, he goes, Extra Life. I still think my favorite scene was the end when he fights Schwartzman.
Yeah, that was
and
fun.
And Schwartzman goes, you can't beat me, I created this whole boyfriend, ex-boyfriend thing.
Yeah.
Because the first kind of thing, I really felt I was being Scott Pilgrim, trying to understand. He doesn't understand. Especially, he's so similar to me, something I would say. Yeah, I didn't read the email. Kind of like when we send emails, I kind of skim it.
Yeah.
And I know you guys would say I totally skim them.
Yeah.
And I totally go, oh, there's something I would do. And when he fights Chris Evans and gets him beat, oh, you can't do this. Yes, I can. And he beats him that way.
Yeah.
So Scott Pilgrim isn't as lazy as we think he is, because he plays video games well.
Yeah.
When he's playing with Ellen Wong's character, I can't, forgot.
Knives Chow.
Knives Chow. Yeah. And I thought that worked well. And then I like the music scene, and I like he goes, what, 240? That's it? The guys are bigger than... And I love the music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Whoever that band is, I'm buying the soundtrack to Scott Pilgrim whenever I go out of my house.
Yeah, I keep meaning to pick up the soundtrack.
Because I thought it was, one, two, three. I'm like...
Well, that he would take the audio assault of a guitar and make it into a visual thing with the noises...
I thought this was great. I like how he beat the chick where he goes, oh, that's her sweet spot. Like her G-spot beats her that way.
Yeah.
But I thought the end of this film was phenomenal. He beats Schwartzman.
I love the scene with Brendan Routh.
Oh, when he gets
him?
What do you mean chicken parmesan isn't vegan?
And the vegan police come.
The vegan, and there is our good buddy Thomas Jane.
Yes. And,
oh, come on. At the end of the movie, when he's got to fight Anti-Scott.
Yeah,
he's really cool. I think I'm going to hang out with him. I'm like, this movie is fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely love this. Can't recommend it enough.
A lot of fun. And the graphic novels are fun, too.
Which I will read one day.
But, you know, I think the movie is independent of the graphic novels in that it's a...
Well, I heard they changed the ending because the sixth book came out.
Well, the sixth book wasn't done when they finished the film.
So they had to go back and reshoot it?
No. So he did the book afterwards. So the ending is slightly different in the graphic novel.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know that. I can't believe that's Chris Butcher.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, does Kieran Culkin not steal this movie?
Oh, yeah, he does.
When he's passed out in bed texting Anna Kendrick?
Yeah.
And you see him sitting there going, what? What are you doing?
How do you know about this?
That's
it.
Oh,
it's totally. I just
told him. And you see him texting him. You're dating an 18-year-old and he goes to pick up knives or 17-year-old or whoever she is.
But the way that he did it, very reminiscent of the panel layouts and the way that the story moves in the
awesome.
Graphic novel.
Awesome. Love this movie.
And Scott McCloud is a huge fan of the graphic novels. Like, he says this is uses it as an example of a perfect use of comic storytelling techniques. So it's innovative. And O'Malley is a great Canadian export. And I love the fact that it was Toronto. And unashamed... Or not ashamed to be Toronto.
No, not in any way.
Just, you know, here's Casa Loma, here's a pizza.
Yeah.
You know, here's Honest Ed's.
You can see it when they're walking by these places.
Yeah. And you missed it. You gotta see it. It comes out on DVD November 9th.
Alrighty, there you go, Bob.
I'll see it.
So that's two enthusiastic thumbs up.
Yeah.
Alright, next film, another Bob has not seen, is Lesbian Vampire Killers.
By the name, I don't wonder why.
directed by Phil Clayton, starring James Corden, Matthew Horn, and Mayanna Buring. Now, I'll tell you how I came across
it. Yeah, because I ran across it before you did and just passed on it.
Yeah, I saw the cover and I thought, wow, that's an interesting name for it. Someone said to me that it's an English film, very much in the same vein as Shaun of the Dead, of course, which I love. So I'm like, you know what, I'll give it a shot. It was $15 on Blu-ray, so I picked it up. And I liked it a lot. I wouldn't say I loved it like Scott Pilgrim, but it was a fun movie. And his friend was hilarious. And, you know, kept trying to get laid and all that stuff. And all the girls keep getting bitten by the lesbian vampires and turn into vampires. It was fun. It was like sort of like Bitch Slap, one we reviewed in the last episode.
See, I think this is where me and you's tastes are very similar. Then you branch one way and I go the other way. And I think it's movies like Bitch Slap, and we see it again in Vampire Killers.
Mm-hmm.
I did not enjoy this film.
No?
I just found it very boring. But I did find one scene very funny. And you're going to ask me why I didn't like it. I thought the camera angles were very boring. I thought the story was very weak.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't seem to go a lot. I just liked the one scene when they take out the female vampire and her fake breasts. Mm-hmm. And he's holding them at the end of the thing. Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I just thought the acting was really bad.
Really? Well, I didn't think
except
it was
for his
great.
Friend trying to get laid. Oh, people get him killed. Ah, it's fine. Let's just have some more beer.
Yeah. When Paul McGann shows up as a priest.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing where the women in the town get attacked and made vampires when they turn 18.
Yes.
Right? So the priest, or the reverend's daughter, turns 18.
Yeah.
So the friend wants to get it on with her, I guess.
Yeah, he does.
And she gets bitten by a vampire and he kills her.
Yes.
And then he's trying to hide it on the fact that to the priest who's looking for his assistant.
Yes,
I don't know. Assistants, I should say.
I just thought it was dumb. Just did not do it for me.
It was goofy and I thought it was kind of
I have nothing to say about it. I just didn't like it. I just thought it was very blah. Right.
Let's get into some serious war movies here.
There we go.
The Green Zone, directed by Jim Bacon, starring Matt Damon, Brendan Gleeson, and Greg Kinnear, and a few other people.
Bob did not
see this. You didn't see this one either, right? This is the episode we didn't see in the majority.
Yeah, we had some catching up to
do. One.
Yeah, okay, good. This will go quick. what did you think of The Green Zone?
I love this movie.
I agree with you.
It was one of those I was sitting there going to watch. I was like, do I really want to see this? Am I going to be interested in it? And it sucked me in hard. And I kept thinking, it just got better and sucking me in more. And I agreed with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exactly the same thing I had the whole issue with the Iraq War.
The movie was, where are the weapons of mass
destruction? And Matt Damon saying, they're not here.
Yeah.
There's nothing here. And they keep telling them to shut up.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying, no, they're just, it's okay. No, it's not okay. No. I'm here to do a job. You asked me to find this stuff. It's not here.
It was all a ruse, according to this film. And I think this film is meant to be a work of fiction with some hints to the past. And basically, a Washington Post journalist is given a story which she does not check the sources on.
Nope.
And so she runs with it. And because it's the Washington Post, people believe that it's true.
That,
and therefore,
correct.
There must be weapons of mass destruction.
Well, I think that's how with America in general.
This is basically
if the president
what happened.
Says there's weapons of mass destruction, there must be, which Bush did say.
Yeah.
There must be, and it's been proven
you
Bush
think,
was
well,
wrong.
Surely he must have research and must have information.
And but they had nothing. They just needed something. I think he wanted to clean up Daddy's work.
That's exactly it.
And I think this movie's phenomenal, because at the end of the movie, Matt Damon types up his big, long spiel,
mm-hmm.
sends it off to everybody and leaves the army, pretty much, I think, at the end, if I remember correctly. I thought this movie was great.
I really enjoyed it, and I thought Matt Damon, top-notch as usual.
Like, you know...
I mean, this is the same creative team that did Bourne.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So,
and they're making a fourth Bourne movie.
I heard that too, but I don't know if Matt Damon will be in it or not.
Well, that's fine. We don't have
Bourne Legacy.
I don't think we have to need Matt Damon.
You know, I do. I kind of think you can't have a Jason Bourne movie without Jason Bourne.
Well, it's called Bourne Legacy for a reason, right? I think that's the passing of the torch. Hey, if they could reboot Spider-Man.
Mm.
All right. Bob, all right. Brothers.
Did you see? No, we didn't see Brothers, directed by Jim Sheridan, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Tobey Maguire, Natalie Portman, Sam Shepard, Mayor Whittingham,
Carey Mulligan,
and Jenny Wade and Taylor Gear.
I saw this so long ago. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I saw it too.
I remember Tobey Maguire gets kidnapped, and Jake Gyllenhaal moves in for the kill. He's in Iraq and gets hidden.
They think he's dead.
They think he's dead. They go to the funeral the whole night.
He's been captured. He's a prisoner of war.
And he is, of course. And Jake Gyllenhaal starts moving in on his wife.
Right. Well, they start forming a relationship as he becomes responsible. Jake, the loser, he's a bit of a loser.
Yes.
And he takes responsibility and owns up as a man to protect and help his wife, his brother's family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he does love his brother and does, you know.
Yeah.
So as these bonds start to be formed between Jake and Natalie Portman, Toby comes back.
He
and
does.
Toby's got issues because Toby had to kill fellow soldier.
To
survive. And he's kind of screwed up over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he gets worse and worse as it goes along.
I know.
And until things come to a head, and I don't want to give the whole movie away, but
no.
Some fine dramatic acting from everybody.
I thought this was a little slow.
It was very
takes
slow.
A long time to get to the end.
Yeah.
And overall, I didn't mind it. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I'm kind of in the middle on this.
I mean, I'm glad I didn't rush out to see it because I would have been disappointed. But now that I've seen it, I'm sort of like, yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'd rather see Green Zone again. Like, I could sit through Green Zone, no
problem.
Green
Zone was entertaining.
And I don't think this is an entertaining movie. I think this is, if you're into those slow dramas, maybe. Oh, I'm trying to think.
I mean, it came out around Oscar season last.
It was rumored. It got a Golden Globe nod for Toby, but didn't get anything in the Oscars. And I don't think it should have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal, I'm kind of getting a little bored of.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, okay, not only Portman's always the same.
Well, when we get to Prince of Persia.
Yes.
Sometime.
Yes.
We'll discuss that.
I know. I know that we will.
All right.
Speaking of things we finally got to.
So here's another one that's been around for a while. A Perfect Getaway, directed by David Chwoe, starring Steve Zahn, Mila Jovovich, Timothy Oliphant, Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor in the Avengers movies, and starring Captain George Kirk in Star Trek. I forgot he was in this. Kelly Sanchez is also in this. And did you see this one?
Yes, I did.
Oh, shocking. Well, why don't you give us a review?
Okay. I was surprised at this movie. I actually watched it again last night just to... Because I didn't get it the first time.
So rather than watch a movie that, you know, was on the list, you revisited a movie you'd already watched.
So I saw about 10 minutes the first time and I didn't enjoy it, so I... But I watched it again, and I was shocked, was pleasantly shocked and surprised because what I thought was happening wasn't really happening. I thought, okay, this, can I sort of give a rundown without ruining anything?
Zahn and Jovovich are tourists.
Right.
Feel free to ruin this movie or I will.
We think they're tourists. And
apparently
and
you didn't enjoy it.
Anyway.
Okay, they're tourists. They meet another set of tourists. Actually, they meet two sets of tourists.
Yeah.
And the one set of the three tourists are killers. We don't know who the killers are.
We know that there's killers because there's news reports.
Right, but we don't know who it is. We think that's who we think it is doesn't turn out to be who it is. And I was by the end of the movie, I loved it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't care less by the end of this movie.
Why not?
Well, Steve Zahn alone just...
Yeah, but he played a character... Like, okay, in Management, he plays a character, like, as dumb as whatever. But in this one, he's good.
I just didn't care after a while. I'm kind of like, is this movie just plotting along. Oh, twist, the end. Don't care.
Well, you don't care, but somebody else might.
I mean...
The only thing this movie does for me is cement the fact that Timothy Oliphant is an entertaining actor.
Yes, he's good.
He's got charisma, and he's good when he's on screen.
Yes.
The film itself, mediocre. Silly.
Been there, done that, seen it.
You know...
I'm not going to ruin it, because you guys, everyone gets mad at me when I ruin movies, so I'm not going to, but... I just don't care for this movie.
Yeah.
There's nothing in here. Me and Jovovich is hot, sure, but... I am just bored. I thought that whole ring shopping scene.
Yeah.
I'm just like.
Well, that was bad.
And they keep kind of revisiting that through the whole movie. I think again, if I saw this a while ago.
Yeah.
And they go back to it, and then I won't ruin. Mila Jovovich is not the killer. Ooh, big surprise. And I mean, it's just like, oh, it took her this long to figure this out. Really? Like, it took her forever to clue in. You figure she would have clued in a while ago?
Well, it said it was a couple.
Huh? Was it?
What are you talking about?
Oh, okay, I'm going to read it. Steve's on.
Mila and Steve, they're both in on it.
They're both in on it. I'm trying to remember. I saw this one.
Yeah, they're both in on it.
They assume identities.
Yeah.
Of the people.
I saw this so long ago. But I know Steve Zahn was the killer.
Yeah.
And then they kill people.
Right.
Yeah, she was in on it.
Okay. Well, who cares?
I still don't care. But she double crosses them.
She double crosses them at the end, doesn't she? Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'm sorry, I saw this when it came out. You guys are going back how many months later? I'm trying to remember. I remember not liking it.
Yeah.
Who cares? I ruined it. Good. Now I don't have to see it. Go right
and read it. The next movie on the list is The Book of Eli, directed by Albert Hughes, starring Denzel Washington.
What? You liked it. I hated it. Kevin was in the middle. Yeah, okay. We got
my girl thumbs down for me.
Oops.
Denzel, Gary Oldman, Jennifer Beals, Michael Gambon, Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis should get an award this year.
She's in a lot of movies.
Yeah, she might be up for the award, but she hasn't been that bad.
So, you didn't see it.
No.
How could
science
you
science fiction movie.
Yeah. That's
after the apocalypse.
Another apocalypse movie.
Not a lot of books around.
Nope, looking for that Bible.
Yeah, he's got the Bible, but there's a twist.
I think it's a nice twist. The only part of the movie I thought was good.
It was a bizarre twist.
But I was kind of like, did you watch Denzel try to do action scenes? It was like in slow-mo.
Yeah.
I got two guys. It was like the action scene. They only could have four guys on screen at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, of course he doesn't have a lot of bullets, but I'm like, the opening scene, I'm like, you're kidding me, right? And he's blind.
Yeah, but what's interesting is you don't get that until like three quarters
of the movie. Yeah, you don't quite figure that out.
Does he get by? And I don't believe that. To be honest, I'd have to watch the film again and say, is he really blind? Because I don't think he's blind in the first half of the movie.
No,
because,
I mean, how can he see all those guys?
Right, how does he know to go into this house?
How does he know to kill the guys?
How does he catch the bunny?
And how did he figure out that those guys were, cannibals?
Yeah.
Like, sense of smell? Like, yes,
yeah,
you know?
There's no... That was like they rewrote it halfway through the film.
Oh, we're going to change this movie.
Yeah, and he's blind.
Does that seem like Christopher Walken at the end of the movie?
No.
Or whatever. He meets some guy, and then... Because what's-his-face is after the book. Gary Oldman's chasing him down because he wants a Bible. Because for some reason the Bible caused the apocalypse, so all the Bibles had to be burnt.
Yeah, well, how can you believe in God when the world's gone to shit?
Right, but he still wants to bring it back, so they get to the end of the movie, and the twist is Gary Oldman gets the Bible, he finds out it's all in Braille, and Denzel Washington memorized it, and they reprint the Bible.
Right.
Who cares?
Before he dies.
Oh, yeah, before he dies, sorry.
From a fatal injury.
I did not care in any way for this movie.
I thought it looked really nice. I thought it had a lot of... stylistic.
I didn't care. I just thought the acting was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, Denzel looked like he was 90.
Gary's okay.
I love Gary, but again, the script was... There's nothing to work with.
Yeah.
I watched Gary in Batman movies going, wow, Gary's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You show somebody Gary in this, never seen Gary, they're like, wow, that guy stinks.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm coming down to a good script in science fiction movies is a must.
Yeah.
Just a must, because I think they have a lot more going against them, because we have to... extend or disbelief.
I guess so,
I'd rather see Gary and the Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought this movie was dull. Just kind of boring.
All right.
It was on my top 10 list at the beginning of the year. I don't think it still is.
Really?
Of worst movies. I really hated this movie. Just thought it was dull. They're fighting over forks and cans of Coke. And I couldn't care less.
Crank it open.
Wow, without Bob, these episodes are much shorter. It's like being the first season, the first ones.
Well, that was the video vault without the squeak. We oiled it.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're like half an episode of the last one. This one's
pretty good. Hey, who left the dead squirrel in here? Something's going on here.
I think Brendan Fraser left it in there.
It's that raccoon.
It's that raccoon from Brendan.
The one that was dead in the hot tub. Hot Tub Time Machine. Oh, you haven't seen that either.
You have not seen Hot Tub Time Machine yet. What have you been doing?
All right, so let's see what's on the list here. Oh, we got some...
Is Hot Tub Time Machine on any of these two episodes?
No.
No, but I want to add it right now, because I want to discuss Hot Tub Time Machine.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. You haven't seen that?
No.
Directed by...
I'll make it easier for you. I haven't seen
any of
the rest of them. I remember Air Force One.
Starring Robert Redford, Paul Newman, Catherine Ross, Strother Martin, Henry Jones, Ted Cassidy, a.k.a. Lurch, Cloris Leachman, Donnelly Rhodes, and Jeff Corey, and, wow, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
I enjoyed this movie a lot.
Fun movie.
Fun movie. I like when they rob the train.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, it's not your money. No. And they blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they rob the train the second time.
Mm-hmm.
When the train comes back and they're like, and they start chasing them.
Mm-hmm.
And the trackers are coming for them. They're like, what are we going to do? They jump off the cliff. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really kind of fun. And then.
Buddy movie.
That was a great buddy movie. I thought it was one of the first buddy movies. I guess Bob Hope and this, but the first Western buddy
sort of
movie.
Like that. Yeah.
And I thought it was really well done. I like how they go, where do they go? Somewhere in South America.
Yeah.
Mexico, and do the same thing all over again.
Oh, yeah, right, South America. Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought it was a fun buddy movie.
Catherine Ross, pretty woman.
Very attractive woman.
Great cast, a lot of fun, classic movie.
Hey, Steve, Paul Newman takes out Ted Cassidy right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Kicks him in the nuts or something somehow.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really, I love the end of this movie.
Raindrops are falling
on my head. I thought the end of this movie was great. I thought they went out the way they did with the bank.
Eyes will soon be
turning. Well, crying's not for you. No.
I don't know. I just think the movie's fun. I think everybody should see this movie. I think it's one of the first.
You know, when people put it on the Video Vault list, it should be a classic watched by many.
I agree. Well, not all the movies in the Video Vault list are classics. All
right. Well, so highly recommend Butch Cassidy.
And so it's good. I don't know what else I can say about it. It hasn't been said.
All right, let's stick with Westerns and go with Pale Rider, directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Clint, Cary Snodgrass, Chris Penn, Richard Dysart, Richard Kiel, and Charles Hallahan. What do you think of Pale Rider?
I think it suffers. It's Apocalypse or whatever that
is.
It's the same movie.
It's
very similar.
To me, this is like a prototype for Unforgiven.
Yes, because he directs it too.
Yes.
And all Clint movies, I find, have the same direction style. Have you noticed that?
I loved Unforgiven. Unforgiven is a perfect Western.
But do you find all his movies have the same, slow, build, boom, and then down.
I like the characters in this film. I like
really?
The story.
Are any of them likable?
Well, I like the story of
panhandling
the man with his daughter and the
Cary Snodgrass.
The wife and the girl are both in love with Clint.
Yes,
who's a preacher, but is he a preacher?
Yeah, we never really know.
He's not. He's a gunslinger.
But
he's the guy. He's like the outlaw Josie Whale. He's hung up his guns and he's gone to try to make it legit.
Yeah,
in this case. He's tried to turn to religion.
Right, I got that.
And when things fall apart, and he comes to this town where the miners are at odds with the...
Developers, I guess.
I guess a bigger mining development.
Which I like the way they show you how to do the gold mining way back when.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cool.
So panhandlers versus a big mining company.
Yeah, I like how they're just firing water at them, not rock, and not doing anything. Mm-hmm. They're just getting it done quicker.
I liked it. I like the acting. I like the story.
Really?
It is a slow build-up.
It's very slow.
Once it gets to the end, it's very action-packed. And
I found I didn't care about the end.
That's the thing about a Clint movie, and we're going to get to another one after this, is that Clint is like the super... In his movies, he's like the super male ego whatever. It's like he may try to sublimate it, but he can't. He is like the male driving force. He's like the alpha male in any movie that he comes to.
Absolutely.
And in this movie, you know, the women are in love with him. The guys are all afraid of him. And he's trying to be nice. He's trying to be a good guy.
Yeah.
But that's so not his nature. He is not a good guy.
No.
He is a ruthless, murdering machine.
Yes.
And in this, he pulls out his guns and he becomes that character again. And he does the same thing in Unforgiven, where he comes out of retirement. It takes him a long time, much longer.
I haven't seen Unforgiven in years.
There's no transition. Like in this film, he says, "Okay, I'm going." He gets his guns. He comes back. He's the gunslinger. In Unforgiven, he wants to be that guy, but he can't. He's old. He's drinking. He's lost it. It's not until Ned dies and is murdered by Little Bill, Gene Hackman.
I can't remember. I know I've seen it, but...
that he becomes the unstoppable force.
Well, he becomes that in the end of this, too. You see it again.
Yeah.
When he's hiding in the water, he's hiding here, taking out the hired guns, the six guys, and killing them all off, one after another.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did not like it. It's just too slow for me. Yeah. And I don't like slow movies. Maybe that's why I didn't like Apocalypse or...
Appaloosa.
Whatever.
Appaloosa.
I don't care. Apocalypse. I never want to see it again.
Apocalypse now.
Apocalypse. Apocalypse.
All right.
Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry, directed by Don Siegel, starring Clint. John Vernon is the mayor. Harry Gardino, John Larch, and Andrew Robinson as the killer. He was in Star Trek. Deep Space Nine and a number of other movies.
He's a character actor. Yeah. Oh, that's Edward G. Robinson, though.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, look at his face. If you watch every
scene. Yeah, I can see that now.
Oh, it's him. It's definitely Edward G. Robinson's son. No doubt about it. So I just want to meet the guy and ask him what his dad was like. I'm a big fan of his dad.
Yeah, I don't know, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. This movie's not bad. Like,
Have you seen Zodiac? You've seen Zodiac.
Same movie.
What?
It's a very similar movie.
Well, Zodiac,
Yes.
Sort of led to the development of the script, which became Dirty Harry.
I can believe it.
Which is, there is a killer who is an unknown force in the city of San Francisco. And he sends letters to the mayor, to the police, to the newspapers, and so forth. You didn't see this too, right? Can't believe you haven't seen Dirty Harry. Anyway, so he's a sniper. He's going out and he's randomly killing people. So the city of San Francisco is freaking out. So the only man who can take him down is Super Cop, Dirty Harry Callahan. And why is he called Dirty? I'm not exactly sure. You know, it's not because he's a dirty cop.
No, he takes the dirty jobs.
Yes, he does. He takes the jobs that no one else will take. I highly entertaining movie. I mean.
Oh, I love the scene when he's having breakfast or whatever he's eating.
Oh, he's having a hamburger or something.
Yeah, could you make a phone call? What do you mean? Could you call the precinct and tell him there's an 8-11 or whatever in progress? He runs out and turns.
He just casually walks across the street.
And just starts firing off.
He pulls out that cannon.
I love that gun. 45 Magnum, is it? It's the most powerful handgun.
I mean, everybody knows the speech, even those who didn't see the movie, right? So.
I thought the scene that scared me the most is when Andrew Robinson's getting the sadist, the black guy, to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Holy crap. And you just see his face afterwards. Really good makeup job for the time.
Moral killer. Yeah, who's willing to do whatever it is.
Oh, my
to get,
God. Just the way he looked. Who did this to you? Harry Callahan did this to me. I was like, wow. But the end of the scene was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I thought the pacing was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
I would like a little more killing, I think, for what it was, but it didn't need to be there.
Don't forget, early 70s, the people were shocked. 1973, I believe, the film
was. Yeah, I think people were shocked by this in 1973.
I mean, I think the girl that he kills with the sniper rifle in the swimming pool is Suzanne Summers.
Oh, really?
From Three's Company.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of trivia.
Oh, now I have to look at her face a little bit more. Yeah, I enjoyed this a lot. I think it's recommended for anybody.
Classic movie, action, police thriller.
It was good.
Yeah. All right. The Gangs of New York, directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Leo, Daniel Day-Lewis, Cameron Diaz, Jim Broadbent, Henry Thomas from E.T. fame, John C. Reilly, Liam Neeson, and Brendan Gleeson.
I didn't revisit this, I will apologize, but I did. I have seen the movie.
Yeah.
I remember loving the first hour and had the big fight at the beginning.
The Daniel Day-Lewis, Liam Neeson fight.
Yes.
The Dead Rabbits versus the...
I loved it.
Whatever they're called. Yeah.
I thought that was great. I had a lot of problems I remember with this movie is when the love story starts taking over the second hour.
Yeah.
When Leo starts falling in love with Cameron Diaz and they go through all that whole thing. She's a pickpocket, isn't she, or something?
She's a pickpocket, yeah.
No, if I remember. That was my problem. I loved the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That fight scene at the end was phenomenal.
Yeah.
When Bill the Butcher fights Leo, I think, at the end, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. So, I mean, I think this is a very enjoyable movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably give it about 3 or 4 out of 5, but it's just that middle hurts me so much.
Yeah.
Am I wrong there? Middle?
No, I mean, I really like the history of the film. Because there's a savagery there in
New York.
Well,
this is based on true events.
Right. I mean, this is New York of 150, 170 years ago.
Well, the gangs really existed.
Yeah, exactly.
New York was the most worst place to live in the world at this time.
It was pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah, 20 people living in one apartment.
Yeah.
And from what I've read, based on the thing, people have told me that Bill the Butcher wasn't the worst guy in the movie. The place.
No.
It was the mayor ripping everybody off.
Yeah.
He was sucking all the money out of the place.
Tammany Hall.
Yeah, that's him. He stole millions.
Yeah.
So, and he got it in the end, too. He got busted for corruption or something. I guess that's when things started.
Oh, yeah, they're all... Anyway, there are a lot of characters, and what I liked about it is... I mean, I'm going to New York in 2 days, so I'm going to be down there again. So, there's a scene towards the end when the fighting really breaks out and the riots are taking place all over the city. The city's exploding, right? There's a lot of violence, and the civil war is on. Men are being, the Irish are being taken right off the boats. The Irish are the unwelcome immigrants, as they were here in Toronto as well. They start saying, at this corner, there was a fight. At this corner, this is where the circus, Barnum and Bailey had a zoo, basically, in a building.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
You know, and the animals break out, and they go running across the city.
I've got a question for you. Yeah. That's maybe not a little off top, maybe it is. Did you read the Gerard Man of Tomorrow book, the history
Gerard
of Super...
Jones, yeah.
Gerard Jones book. And he talks about the gangs in New York, too.
Yeah.
And how everything... So, I mean, they must have been true, because I'm reading them two separate issues.
Well, I mean, we're talking about 100 years before... I mean, I think Gangs of New York is about a 40-year history.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And, you know, it starts off when Leo's a kid.
Yeah, and goes to when he's a man.
And it's maybe 1840.
Right, I know, I realize
and
that.
And his father, you know.
And Superman, though, but I mean, it takes place in the early 1900s. I mean, things didn't really change that much in New York in 60 years.
Oh, yeah, they did. Oh, quite a bit. New York is quite different. At the beginning of the film, it's basically... farms, almost.
I can't remember.
And rundown shacks. To 1860, when we have a city.
Yes, I remember that.
And you start seeing these gang leaders trying to take positions of legal positions as, you know, what's his face? John C. Reilly. Not John C. Reilly. Do you know who I mean? Actor who was in the Harry Potter film.
Jim Broadbent.
No, the guy with the one eye.
Oh, Brendan Gleeson.
Brendan Gleeson.
One of Mad Eye Moody.
Yeah, when he runs and he becomes the representative for the Five Corners.
Yeah.
And Bill comes and kills him on the day he's elected.
I like that.
Yeah, but you know they were legitimizing. By the end, Bill was a legitimate businessman.
He was.
He wasn't just this gang leader as he was at the beginning. But the Five Corners, of course, was the worst neighborhood at the time.
It was.
But it's where all the boroughs met.
And now it's worth a fortune.
Sure. But, you know, just an interesting blood-soaked history to New York City that, you know, you don't think it's there.
Yeah, but Canada doesn't really have that. That's the one thing about being Canadian.
Not really.
Canada
doesn't have the turbulence. We had the rebellion, but that really...
Yeah, just not too far from here.
Hogs Hollow started. Yeah.
Not far from
that. Anyway, I like the film. But
well, we almost had an all-Western show.
I'd recommend it as a history. Yeah, exactly. Well, we're back to Westerns again. Another film that Bob has not seen called The Quick and the Dead.
Yeah, I got a question.
From 1995.
Are there three versions of Quick and the Dead?
There are earlier, different, same name, but different. This
is
a different plot.
I've seen this one.
This is the Sam Raimi film with Sharon Stone. Another Leo DiCaprio film. Gene Hackman, Russell Crowe, Tobin Bell, Keith David, Lance Henriksen, Pat Hingle, Gary Sinise. as Sharon Stone's father in flashbacks. I love this film. This is a fun film.
I agree with you 100%.
And Sam Raimi, back when he was an innovative filmmaker.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you could see beautiful things in this. I'd never seen in films before. And you could see Sam Raimi learning the craft.
Yeah.
Testing things out and trying things out.
The clock ticking down each time.
Each
fight is done differently.
Click.
You know, shooting through the guy's head after the bullet's gone.
Yeah, just stuff like different shot pacing, different scenes.
Yeah.
I thought this movie, I was hot and cold on it. Parts of it I really liked. Mm-hmm. I thought the gunfighting was the best. I really enjoyed it.
Sharon Stone was still pretty at this time.
She was. And I enjoyed parts of it, parts of it. I thought overall I enjoyed this film. I didn't love this film.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Sam Raimi as a director really started to shine for me at this time.
Russell Crowe was really good in this film. And he was young. I mean, this is way
before he gets killed, doesn't he?
No, he lives at the end.
He lives? Does he goes off a sheriff? I can't remember.
He ends up being the sheriff at the end.
Yeah, because Gene Hackman's the sheriff.
Yeah.
Because he wants
and
to
runs the town.
He runs the town. I think this is a quality movie. That sounds a while. We got to start doing these a little sooner. That sounds a while.
No, these are movies that we're just kind of clearing out because they've been on the list for
a while. Oh, okay. Because I'm trying to remember. I just think this is an excellent film.
Watch them over the winter.
I think those gunfighting scenes were excellent. Like, I could watch the movie just for the gunfight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the clicking of the clock. Because by the end of the movie, you're just waiting. You're counting with the guys. Click.
Yeah.
Tick. Tick. And I like have all the... it's just one of those movies. This is a bounty hunter movie that's done well.
He cannot be killed by a bullet.
And he couldn't be. He got out. But I like how they all came in and they all get into fights and they all get into arguments. And Sharon Stone was excellent. Mm-hmm. Really shows she can actually act. Which I always thought Sharon Stone was a decent actress.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I think this is an excellent movie.
I recommend it. Too. Yeah.
I recommend almost every Raimi movie, but Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3 I like parts of, but I don't love it as a whole.
I think it's a horrible movie.
I don't know. For Love of the Game?
I've never seen it.
It's not one I would recommend.
I've never seen it. Can't say anything about it.
Yes,
there are movies I haven't seen, Bob.
And then there was the... Was it A Simple Plan, the one with the airplane?
I didn't like that one, but I have seen it.
Yeah. All right, last movie on our list. This is, I think, a quick episode, isn't it?
It is, because Bob's been quiet.
Yeah. Have seen this, but you know, it's been a while. And that's Air Force One, directed by Wolfgang Peterson, starring Harrison Ford as the president, Wendy Crowson, Glenn Close as the vice president, Gary Oldman as the terrorist, Russian William H. Macy, Dean Stockwell, Tom Everett, Xander Berkeley, and others. Do you remember? What do you remember of Air Force One? Do you remember liking it? Or
as far as I can remember, I remember liking it because he played Harrison Ford as the president.
Yes. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and he. It's so long ago. He basically is the action star he's supposed to be. Saves. Who was ever on Air Force One at the time, I guess it's his family.
Mm-hmm.
I did like it when it first came out, when I did see it,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't see it recently, so I can't really say. But I'll say I did like it.
Well, I haven't seen this movie in years, but I did like it. I remember me and my wife were married, and she was out one night. She had some videos I hadn't seen, and she goes, mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Air Force One? I said, no, I've never seen Air Force One. I put it on, and she was like, I thought you would like that movie. Oh, my God, I love this movie.
Yeah.
I like the whole plot, how the guys sneak in through Russia, mm-hmm. I think when they go to wherever they go, and they sneak on the plane.
Harrison Ford is sneaking in Russia, and these guys pretend to be journalists.
Yes, they get on the plane. I got that. Yeah. And I like how they try to get around them, like, no, it says right here, you can refill in the air. They're like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And you're trying to figure out how are they Harrison Ford going to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he finds a way to beat them. But I think this is a really well 80s, I guess 80s or 90s, early 90s.
Early 90s.
But it is a very 80s-like movie.
Yeah.
Paul's very 80s pacing, but I really enjoyed it. I think it's excellent.
Maybe 89.
I just think it's good. He's up in the air. I mean, I can't remember a lot of it, but I did like it.
It's fun. It's a kick-ass young president doing the die-hard thing on an airplane.
That's it. It's die-hard on a plane. I agree. I liked it, though.
And young in the sense that Harrison Ford was like 55 at the time.
Yeah, so it's 67 now.
Yeah.
No, I think it's an excellent movie.
Still trying to be an action star.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Fun.
Okay. I got some things.
All right, so you got some things.
Well, I think we're looking, I mean, I don't know.
Is there any movies you want to see after hearing our reviews?
Yeah.
Yes.
Quicker Than a Dime.
Well, where'd it go? Scott Pilgrim for one. Green Zone. Gangs of New York, because it sounds interesting. History.
3 hours, well, you don't have that much time.
Well, I do now because there's no baseball. Actually, World Series is coming out, so. Quick and the Dead. I want to rewatch Air Force One, but I don't have time.
That's good. You don't have time. Private school.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I remember hearing about that when it was originally on, and I thought, eh, maybe now I can watch it.
Originally on?
Yeah, originally on.
Yeah, okay.
What, I would have been 7?
Yeah.
Actually, after that, because it was on in reruns.
I have a question for you guys. We're getting all these movies in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's going to stay? I guess it is, because it makes money.
Some movies it doesn't work for, though.
Well, I saw Clash of Titans in 3D. They still owe me my money back.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
That was painful.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm getting to the point now. I've seen a couple in 3D. I'm like, do I really need to go in 3D anymore? Like, if I had enough?
I liked Toy Story 3D. I liked Avatar in 3D. I liked Up in 3D.
I never saw Up in 3D.
There are other films that I enjoyed.
I think I saw that.
Bob recently saw Street Dance in 3D. We should get the really, like, what is in 3D in that movie?
The whole thing, basically.
They're dancing.
They're dancing in front of me?
Well, okay. There's a food fight. Yeah, we do.
This is the only way that movie's getting discussed on the show.
Oh, but we can. Never mind.
So, really, there's nothing to see in 3D in that movie. I don't know, I just...
Well,
I mean,
nothing that you could have seen in real D. 2D.
Like, I went to see The Town recently, and I saw it in 2D.
And is that a 3D movie?
But, I mean, I was thinking, going, good thing this movie was in 3D, because there's nothing to see in 3D. It wouldn't have worked.
Why would it have been in 3D, though?
Because they put everything in 3D now, don't they?
No.
Not everything.
Not everything. I just...
There was a movie I saw at the film festival. It wasn't in 3D. It was regular.
I don't know. It was just me.
It's you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm out of here.
There's a lot of... I'm looking forward... I will watch Star Wars 3D.
Oh, aren't we all?
Yeah.
Like, don't we have to?
Why do we have to?
We're obliged to.
I think we're obliged to be for that.
Are we obliged to watch a movie in 3D?
Bob.
That we've already seen in regular?
If they put Star Trek, that movie from last year, out in 3D, I would go...
I have a question for you, Bob.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Let's pick a movie. Oh, I don't... Grease.
No.
Mamma Mia.
Not in 3D.
In 3D. Really, you wouldn't go.
It would
go.
Ruin it.
You wouldn't go?
No.
Sing-along Sound of Music.
Like, they already have sing-along Mamma Mia. That's why she didn't go. You did go. Well, there's my point. Did everybody sing-along?
It's on the DVD. I can switch it to sing-along. But I would not see it in 3D. It would ruin it. That's the type of movie.
How would it ruin it?
It would ruin it. There's nothing to put in 3D.
Okay, fine. You win.
Actually, that, okay, that's fine. No,
you know what? I need to go watch more movies.
In 3D.
In 3D. Good night.
You have to watch 3D. Get
lost.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
Bob, intern.
Thanks for your input today, Bob.
Yeah, you were fantastic. And if they make it.
It was an entertaining episode.
Simon forces us to watch it.